Hello, and we're glad that you're joining us today for a Bible study. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. And our lesson today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to talk about the church, and we're going to be talking about building up the church. We have in this passage the church being like a building and being made up of different materials and based upon a foundation. And we're going to be talking about that today and how we can help build up the church. Let's begin reading in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, we're not going to be talking about the husbandry. It's sort of like a vineyard or a farm. We're going to talk about God's building today because that's what this passage addresses. Notice in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Of course, the Apostle Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a master builder. He was a man who was inspired of God to write many of the epistles in the New Testament, I think 13. He says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now the Lord's church is a building, and we are laborers to work building it up, and that's what we're talking about today. Paul had laid the foundation of the church there in Corinth, and other men came along building upon it, such as Apollos and Peter. And so verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation of God's building. He is the foundation of the church. There is one foundation and only one building. My friends, there are not many churches. There's only one, the one in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Romans 16 and 16. And the foundation of the Church of Christ is upon Jesus Christ. It's a firm foundation. You don't want to be on the foundation of John Wesley or Joseph Smith or any of the other men who have designed doctrines, John Calvin, Martin Luther, and on and on, we could list those men. They founded other churches, not the church that's in the Bible. Notice in verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, different people were building upon the one foundation. There were different teachers. Many, many are mentioned in the Bible. Some of the material is silver and gold. That's wonderful. Precious stones. That's great. It will stand the test of fire. But then it mentions wood, stone, wood, hay, stubble. Now, the fire is going to test that too. There are different kinds of materials or different kinds of people who make up the Lord's church. We are the Lord's church. We are standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We are the material that makes up the church. Some of that material is tested and strong. Silver and gold. It's tested, it's strong. Other material is not strong. It's hay, it's wood, it's stubble. And we're going to be tested by fire, the Bible says. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the fire that it speaks of here is not a literal fire. It's the fire of persecutions. It's the fire of testing. Can you take that kind of test? It says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now there's going to be trials, very painful trials. And what you are made up of as a Christian, you could be fully able to stand the test and the trials. You may be the silver, you may be the gold, you may be the precious stones, or you may not be that strong. You may be the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You may not be able to take and stand the trials that is to test the church. I sometimes ask people, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a weak Christian? Are you a mediocre Christian? Or are you a very strong Christian? We all need to answer that question because we want to be solid and we want to be durable. We want to be lasting. We don't want to be frail and weak and just fuel for the fire. We don't want to be that. We want to be strong. Now, some of these Christians there, they were hay and stubble. I think we can read about them in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 3. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," that's worldly-minded people, "even as unto babes in Christ," that's immature people. That perhaps is the hay and the stubble and the wood that he's talking about. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." You can't stand and take all of the teaching of the Bible. You only need the simple things, the little things. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" So they were in the church, but they were worldly people and they were carnal people. They were immature people. So get this picture of the Lord's church that we're finding out here in this passage. It's like a building. It's a spiritual building. It's a holy building. It's a temple of God. A place where God dwells. And the members of the building are being tested. We're being tested every day. Some people last, and some people don't last. Let's continue reading here in verse 14. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you," plural, "are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The church is a building. The church is a temple. It is a temple where God dwells. And some of the members that make up this church are very durable. They're gold and silver, precious stones. Some can't take the testing. Who are those people? Well, they could be people who were not very mature. They were babes in Christ. Or they could be people who are worldly-minded. And I think it's important to notice that not everybody in the Lord's church is going to be approved of God. The hay and the stubble, we're working on it. The worldly-minded, the weak, we're working on them. We're working on God's building. And we're trying to strengthen them. We're trying to build them up. Now, the Bible also speaks of something similar to this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to read that with you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Well, the foundation of God's house is Jesus Christ. "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that is named the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The people in Corinth had not departed from iniquity. They were very worldly minded, they were very immature, and they were not being able to stand the test. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Some are hay and wood and stubble, and they're going to be burned." Verse 21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fitting for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." There are some people who are wood and stubble that needed to finally be recovered. Recovered from the snare of the devil. We are a spiritual building. We need to depart from sin and wickedness and purge our lives and purge our minds and get rid of the worldliness in our hearts. Each of us are in control of our behavior. You are in control of your attitude and your temperament. He says, flee youthful lust. Those things dishonor us. We should honor righteousness and faith and love and peace and a pure heart and patience and gentleness. But dishonor is brought about by lust and strife. And so, beloved, we're building God's building. We're on a sure foundation. However, there are different materials in this building. Some of them can take the testing, and some of them cannot. That's why we're preaching and teaching the Word of God daily, so that we can all become the silver and the gold and the precious stones. That's what we want. We want to grow. We want to mature. That's what Paul was doing when he wrote the letter to the Corinthians. He wanted to build them up. And so the sure way of doing that, to build strong, is to teach and preach the Word of God. But we must obey the Word of God. Matthew 7 and 21 says, "Not everyone that heareth, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not everybody's going to be saved. Notice the very next verse of Matthew 7, verse 22. "Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many mighty works, and in thy name cast out devils? And I will declare unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." They weren't strong. They were hay and they were stubble. They called upon the Lord, but he rejected them. Isn't that something? But then the Bible says, "Whosoever heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man." Now watch this. He's going to be tested. The winds came, the rains came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it stood because it was built upon a rock. It's a very simple concept. You want a strong building? Hear the Word of God and then do what it says. In that same context of Matthew 7, it says, "But he that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." He's not on Christ. He's heard the word, but he's not obeyed the word. The Bible says in James, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." He heard the word. He built his house upon the sand. The winds came, the rains came, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell. It fell, and great was the fall thereof. Now, how would you build your house if you knew it was going to be tested? How would you build it? If you knew a test was going to come, would you put a foundation down? Well, sure you would. You know how to put that foundation down? You hear the word of God, and then you do what it says. Some people are hearing, but they're not doing what the Bible says. We want to build the building. We want to be a firm part of that building. We want a strong building. We want a building to be a part of the temple of God, the building of God, and have be able to withstand the test. In Revelation, there was a church called the Church of Sardis. Revelation 3 and 1, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." They'd already died. What happens to congregations? They die. Why do they die? Because people stop working on the building. They stopped teaching the Word of God. They stopped hearing the Word of God. They stopped believing and obeying the Word of God. You know, every congregation has a lifespan. Take the churches of the Bible, the church in Damascus. There was a church in Damascus, one of the oldest cities in all of the world. The city's still there. Damascus is still there, but there's no Church of Christ there. What happened? Well, every church has a lifespan. It died. Well, why did it die? Why did it disappear? Why did it go away? Damascus is still there, but the church is not there. Where did it go? That, you know, that's the city where Saul of Tarsus was baptized, in Damascus. Why aren't the churches still in Jerusalem? Because they could be a lot of reasons. Could be a lot of reasons, persecutions and so forth. But one is the church stopped the building process. They stopped planting and watering the word. They stopped preaching the word. The church exists in the world today because people are building the building. The church here in this location exists here because people are preaching the word. They did that in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament times. They preached the word. Listen to this. Romans 10 and 18 says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." Yeah, they pray. That's why the church is still existing today, is because people are still doing that. They're still taking the gospel to every creature, and we don't ever want to stop doing that. Now, that was Romans 10 and 18. Now I want to read Colossians 1 and 23. "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." The church existed in the world today because people built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The church was building, and it's still building. God does not want the building of the church to ever stop. He doesn't want that. He wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants people to have an opportunity to hear the gospel and repent of their sins. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible talks about the destruction of the world in the days of Noah with the flood. In the latter part of that chapter, it talks about the destruction of the world when Jesus comes again. And people were mocking that it wouldn't happen. In that chapter, it talks about mockers coming, mocking, making fun of the fact that Jesus is going to come again. In that chapter of 2 Peter 3, there's a verse number 9. Why hasn't God destroyed the world? Here's why. Because he does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so the world is still standing today because people are still preaching the gospel today into the places in the world. And God lets the world stand because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. He will have all men to be saved. And so the world will keep standing, it seems, as long as we keep teaching and building up the church. If we stop that, then there's no reason for the world to stand. God is letting the world stand because he's long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. And so we must keep ourselves in the work of the building up of the church. We must keep building up the church because that's obedience to God. That makes us strong. We want to continue to preach the Word of God to everyone through this radio program and so many others. Because souls can be saved, your soul and my soul, we can be saved. It is the major work of the church, and that's why we're here, to preach the word. We're building up a building. We're standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We want every congregation to be strong. We want them to last for decades and decades and continue through centuries to come. But we know each congregation can come to an end if it stops working. And so it depends on our building, a building up of the temple of God, God's house. We're like a ship that's going out into the open sea. We're going to hit some waves. We're going to hit some storms. We're going to be tested. We need a seaworthy vessel. Our foundation is perfect. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, Noah got into the ark, but he built that ark. He hand-built the ark that he was placing his life into. Isn't that amazing? God gave him in Genesis 6, God gave him the plan for the ark. And Moses got that plan, and with his bare hands, he built the ark that he would put his soul inside and the souls of his sons and daughters-in-laws. He did what God told him to do. God has given us a pattern for the church. Let's do what God says. Let's build it and build it right. Let's try to build up everyone and cause them to be the gold and the silver and the precious stones. We're going to be tested. We want souls to be saved. Everybody that was in that ark was saved. They worked on that ark, they built the ark, and everybody in that ark was saved. And that's what we want with the church. We want to work to build up the church and to make it strong and fill it full of dedicated and mature Christians. That's why we're teaching and we're preaching the Word of God, to get the church built up and made strong. We have the surest foundation of all, and that is the foundation of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Dear friend, I want to say thank you for tuning in our program today, in which we talked about building up God's temple, God's building, the church. Building it up and building it right. We're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. I'm going to be tested. What kind of foundation do you want to your building? I want a sure foundation. I want one that'll be rock solid, and that's Jesus Christ. And with him on our side and with us in his building, we're going to be able to stand the test of time. The church is going to continue to be in this world. Souls will continue to hear the gospel and be saved. That's what God wants. That's what we want. We want the church to go on and on and on throughout the ages, of however long this earth stands. We want the church to be here preaching God's word. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray you have a blessed week. Thank you, and God bless.